You are listening to Therapy Insiders, in case you didn't know that already. On this episode, we interview, we interview Jason Shane, a Canadian physiotherapist, and we kind of go back to a little bit of the marketing flair that we've covered a lot. And we decided to go with a different spin because Jason hosts a lot of continuing education courses. And to host a continuing education course, you really have to build up an audience. So we wanted to learn, how do you build up an audience? Because that can translate very well to other endeavors, right? Whether it's building an audience for your clinic as a business, building a social media audience, regardless. It takes a unique skill set in marketing to build up that audience. So we kind of questioned Jason on that and some other stuff, including some stories about Urson from Canada involving sushi that you definitely don't want to miss. But before we get into the episode, again, a reminder that we are sponsoring PT Pub Night at CSM in California coming up in February. So definitely check out PT Pub Night on Facebook, RSVP. We're all going to be there. We look forward to hanging out with each and every one of you. If you're going, please let us know at Therapy Insiders or at UpDoc Media. We'd love to know who's coming to hang out with us. So right before getting into the episode, let's take a quick listen to ads from our sponsors, WebPT and Patient Sites. Therapy Insiders is proudly sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. But aside from being the ultimate EMR for physical therapy and the rehab community, WebPT also produces incredible content in a wide variety of topics. One such content piece I was really curious about was feedback. So I asked Heidi Janenga about that. Stick around to the middle of the episode to find out what she had to say about professional feedback. Therapy Insiders is also sponsored by Patient Sites, the leader in physical therapy, website, newsletter, and Facebook marketing. Stick around to the middle of this episode where I asked Scott, the president of Patient Sites, about finding your website. You have one. It looks great. That's great. But how do people actually locate it? And what does SEO really mean? You definitely don't want to miss that. And now, Therapy Insiders. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Shirakabrad here with Dr. Urson Religioso. Urs, how you doing?
I'm well. How about you, Gene?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's early 2016 when this episode is playing. So it's the transition, a lot of cool stuff in the works for us in terms of UpDoc Media, what we're doing and courses. And anytime you launch something new that you need to sell and get people to come to, that always means kind of brushing off the marketing and testing out new things. And especially with 2016 on board, we talked about it in the past podcast, I'm always excited to try out new things. And I'm always excited about marketing and really seeing what not only behavioral sciences and psychology has to bring, but where the attention of the people are to market to. So I'm excited to test out some marketing. What about you? Are you excited about anything new in 2016?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for hoverboards, flying cars, and people wearing silver shirts.
Well, so you're going to be thoroughly disappointed in 2016 then,
oh,
friend.
Oh, man, no Mr. Fusion either. I want Mr. Fusion. Everyone having their own fax machine, just like in Back to the Future 2, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
I got that. I hope
I know you did. I'm talking about for maybe our listeners who don't watch as many movies as Gene and I do. I'm excited. There's lots of new things going on. I just in 2016, I got named vice president of quality and compliance for NextGen PT's residency and fellowship. So, I was surprised. I just thought I was going to be some sort of residency director, but you know. It's obviously very impressive. I got congratulated so much on Facebook. People were like, whoa, you're leaving your job. Are you still seeing patients? This and that. What about what you're currently doing? And I just thought, wow, I just kind of said, yeah, I mean, I'd love to.
They don't understand that you have like 7 million entity businesses that you're part of. You're
right.
Omnipresent in a lot of healthcare businesses.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, it's cause enough for a party. And there was a course that I taught in Toronto for Mobo Physio. And I thought it was great because normally when, you know, you go to a venue and you follow the signs and it says, whatever, kinesiotaping this way or the eclectic approach to upper quarter and lower quarter this way. All he had was a sign that said manual therapy party. And there were errors. I was like, yeah, that's an awesome brand. Like, I should just call my who doesn't like going to a party, right? It kind of encourages like that it's a fun atmosphere. And I'm thinking like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna start calling it something like that and just saying like people like you should tweet, you should Instagram this, like absolutely, just like how people do when they're at a party, you know, like take selfies of each other, take selfies with the host, you know. And I think that every good party has an awesome host.
I believe every party has a pooper as well.
Well, yeah, actually, there weren't too many poopers at this one. Yeah, there was no crazy guy with his lampshade on his head that, or maybe that was me. I don't know.
At this point, you don't remember.
Yeah, right. It was just a whirlwind. I woke up on Monday. I was like, what the hell happened?
It should have been a manual therapy party and drinks. Then you would have a very full course. Now,
yeah.
Speaking of courses and full courses, and even Canada, we've talked a lot because you had the eclectic approach course at the Garage Series back here in Maryland, and we learned a lot in terms of marketing, or really non-marketing, because we're building so much stuff with UpDoc Media at that point that we kind of let the marketing for the course go by the wayside a bit, and which happens often when you multitask. And that's why multitasking a lot of people shouldn't do. And I'm being very hypocritical because I run three businesses. But having said that, you told me that since you teach a lot of courses, that it's incredibly hard from talking to other hosts to fill a course. And a lot goes into it. And it's a unique skill. It's not like marketing necessarily. And I'm sure it might incorporate some of the elements. But it's something that you have to really kind of work at. And I think our guest today, Urson, who you will graciously introduce as always, I think kind of is getting really good at perfecting that skill.
Definitely. Our guest today is Jason Shane from Shane Physiotherapy. Like his Facebook page. Jason has been hosting my Eclectic Approach seminars, newly rebranded as Modern Manual Therapy, in BC for 3 years now, Jason?
3 years.
Yeah. And I was shocked to find out that, especially 3 years ago, when he still pretty much almost sold out the course to my course limit, which has happened even easier and faster every course he hosts, that, you know, even when I met with him before, it was probably a year before we even planned the course, met on Skype, talked a few times, and after the course, maybe even on the second course, he said, you know what, I've only been out a year or something like that, a year of physio school. And it's one of those times that if I were drinking something, I would have like spit it out all over the table, because I have had course hosts offer similar things like, hey, I'll bring you to Vegas or I'll bring you to wherever. And yeah, I know, you need X amount of people to clear your costs. I can easily get that many people. I know twice as many people. And I've had to cancel three courses over the past year or so just because that happened. They thought they could easily get so many people. And even we thought, right, Gene's like, hey, we got a podcast. We have between your social media, my social media, we'll get enough people. And it's just one of those things that, yeah, without repeated exposure, without planning, without having a process to it, I think when people just try to do it, it's a lot harder than they think. And, you know, I talked to Jason about that, and he pretty much said, every time I start a course or even plan a course, I start it a year out and I have a process for it. So that's why I wanted to have him on, because I thought it'd be very beneficial, not only for our listeners, but us as well. How do you throw a party, Jason? How do you throw such a successful party?
Seriously,
well,
Jason.
You know, I'm changing the name of all my courses to parties now. Because
yeah, manual therapy party, right?
Oh, that is I got to up my game. You know, seeing that I'm adding it to my list that's already about two pages on how to run a course. That's number one. How do I do it? I mean, you know, honestly, you know, number one is you got to get a well-known course presenter. So I was pretty lucky having you as my first course that I brought in, because you already had such a large market awareness. So that was part of it. And then number two is you got to have some form of network to get that information out there, because it's amazing how many people do not look for courses. So I found some pretty innovative ways to get the word out there. One, social media. I mean, you can probably see, as you're right about, I'll start advertising a course 6 months to a year before running the course. And at least once a week, I'll start to create interest in it by posting videos of the presenter, posting articles of the presenter. And then normally every second post, what I'm doing is I'm also posting a link for the sign up for the course. And what I also do, which is unbelievable how inexpensive it is I contact that, for us, it's a province here in Canada, but you could contact that state's physical therapy college or board. And normally for a very small fee, you can get your course emailed out to every single one of the physios in that province or state.
That's a good tip. Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. And an email coming from a board, most people will at least skim over before the delete. And for the most part, maybe some will even check it out.
Absolutely. Right. And you know, what I also found was, and Erson brought up quite right, that I think when I first sent him an email, I was literally only half a year out of physio school, which I did not mention to him at the time. And
right, I would have been like, what? Who is this noob?
I think that was actually to my advantage, because I graduated from a class of 80 students. And we had sort of a private Facebook social group. And I was also part of the social group for the year that graduated before me and the year after me. So I posted the course in all three of those years, which was about 80 students a year. That's 240 students who were all extremely keen on continuing education. So, you know, I became quite creative in the way that I marketed the course.
What made you want to host courses in the first place?
You know what? That is an easy answer. I host courses from instructors that I want to learn from.
Yeah, so that's a good strategy.
you know, it seems sort of selfish, but, you know, I've been following Erson for, you know, a couple years during PT school, and I liked his approach, his eclectic approach. And I thought to myself, how do I get this guy in here and, you know, maybe, you know, not have to pay for course registration? I'm like, why don't I just bring him in myself? And that is how I choose how to bring in both either the instructor I want to learn from or a topic that I want to learn from. But there is one interesting caveat to that, and Erson will remember the story, is the first title of the course that Erson and I wanted to run was his instrument-assisted soft tissue course, which I thought was going to be spectacular. I thought people would eat it up. It gives a more affordable option than sort of, you know, another brand name out there. You know, you don't have to, you know, leave someone bleeding after scraping their skin with his tool. And so we initially launched, you know, the eclectic approach to IASTM. And after about 2 or 3 months, I think one person had signed up.
Yeah, right. I remember that actually. And I forgot about that. I mean, even if it was only maybe 4 years ago, I forgot about it, because otherwise that course ended up selling out, right? And it ended up selling out. But why is that?
So you know what? I've got to give credit to David Leyland, who helped run this last course that you came to. And he said, he goes, well, what about running his course in spinal manipulation? So I changed the course. And funny enough, David was the only one who was registered for the course, so it wasn't a big deal. And within a week, I had 7 people sign up. And it was the topic, even though I thought, you know, the tool would be very interesting. I think what I learned from that experience is, how do I find out what my market here in Vancouver, what courses they want to take? Because even though I might find something interesting, even though I think it is interesting, if it's not something catchy, like, oh, I don't know, like the eclectic approach to modalities, for example, people might not come.
Or modern manual therapy.
Exactly. Or modern manual therapy. I mean, as you said, if I ran a course, or if you ran a course on ultrasound and laser, it would probably sell out.
Oh, modern manual therapy to ultrasound. Mike Reinold will be the first one in line for that one.
Right, he would be.
Shout out.
And that's interesting. And that also made me realize, in terms of branding, I mean, I think you and I both, and I told you this too, like, you can't underestimate or even overestimate my Facebook reach. I mean, if I teach a class of 40, sometimes 5 people will know me. Sometimes 2 people will know me. And I think we both kind of overestimated my reach back then. And I've learned a lot about it and branding since then. And eclectic approach has certainly been a tough sell. But the next time was ISTM, and that was also sold out. So
absolutely. I
think it was just people wanted... They just needed to get to know me, except for that one lady who was at the last course who basically didn't recognize any of my brands. That was that kind of shrunk my head a little bit.
I am still amazed at how, you know, physical therapists, you know, I'll they'll come to the course because they like the topic. And I'm like, oh, so you came to, you know, follow, you know, the manual therapist, you know, and like, who? And I'm like, I mean, the last course, actually, the last course was a course taught by Christopher Johnson, who's down in Seattle, of Zarin PT, and you assisted with it. And what's quite funny is, I mean, obviously you're very well accomplished and, you know, social, you know, very large social media presence. And I think you even said this to me, is I think many people in the course were thinking, oh, I wonder who this guy is assisting the course. And I think in the introduction, you know, I made a point, you know, of saying, but, you know, I think many people thought you were, as you said, when you came across the border, that you were his assistant for the course.
Oh, yeah, that border guard who gave me such a hard time, because, like, as I'm reading your paperwork here, you're an assistant. So, you know, I'm gracefully letting you in. I'm like, well, I'm not getting his coffee. I have like a CV here. But, you know, he had totally ignored my 3-page long CV and everything. And he's like, I read this as assistant. And I was like, well, from a legal standpoint, I guess it does say assistant. But he was obviously just giving me a hard time. And, you know, I even said this to you, too. And I even mentioned it when I was teaching. Like, if any of you guys are actually wondering why the cameraman is now teaching, it's because of this. Right.
And, you know, another reason for the courses, and I think this really became evident at the last course, was getting a group of rehab professionals together, like yourself there, Chris there, Ryan DeBell of the Movement Fix was there. You know, I think some of the best memories of the course, and maybe you two can attest to it as well, is the chatting during breaks, the going out for dinner afterwards. You know, it's
amazing. Quite a party.
It was quite a party. You had more than 2 beers, if I'm allowed to say that.
Well, hey, I don't drive. That's what I leave that up to my host.
You know what? Gene Urson was looking forward to this one because he wasn't the lead instructor for months leading up.
I was like, yes, I could just literally sit back and be behind a camera for 16 hours.
And a little tip, as you told me, is make sure that you're mic'd up if you're recording.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's always a good time. I agree with you, Jason. Having taught courses and assisted and just being part of it, the camaraderie, especially the conversations that are a bit off record once you're done with the course, when you're out and just kind of relaxed, those are definitely some of the best times. And I think that's when you really realize whether you like the course and the person or not, when they can have genuine conversations, when they're kind of off the script That's always a fun thing. I remember to your point that you guys have been talking about the reach with social media. Even, you know, even when you have tens of thousands of listeners or followers. I remember I was having a conversation with Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, and he has like 1 million Twitter followers. And we were talking. He's like, you know, most people. This was right before PPS. He's like, you know, most people in this room will not know who I am. He says it a little more colorfully with a few more F words in there, but that's so true. You know, we have followings, we have people that are kind of a foundational audience, and aside from that, it's tough to bring in new people. You put out what you put out and people follow you, and that's a good thing, but to grow an audience, that's incredibly hard. And before Jason tells us exactly how hard it is to grow an audience, let's take a little break to hear from our sponsors, WebPT and Patient Sites. Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Aside from being the ultimate EMR, like you said in the beginning of the episode, WebPT also produces a ton of content. And one of the topics that I wanted to know about was professional feedback, because it doesn't really get talked about, but it's super important. And I asked Heidi, so Heidi, why is professional feedback important?
Well, Gene, professional feedback in particular helps us become better employees, managers, colleagues, and providers. It's mission critical when it comes to improving patient care and exceeding business objectives. So, during this month's webinar, the amazing Dr. Daphne Scott and I are going to define feedback, explore the reasons why people give and fail to give feedback, and present a model for giving and receiving feedback inside a PT practice, including actionable steps for creating a feedback-rich culture in your clinic. I hope everyone tunes in. You can register for free at webpt.com/feedback.
Thanks, Heidi. Remember, professional feedback helps you grow and helps your business grow. It's super important. So check it out, webpt.com/feedback. Therapy Insiders is also sponsored by Patient Sites, the leader in website development, Facebook, and newsletter marketing. To have a successful website, the website needs to be found. And to be found, you really need to have optimized SEO, which I'm sure you've seen all over the place, but you probably don't have a good grasp on it. So I asked Scott, president of Patient Sites, what the heck is SEO? How does that play into somebody finding your site?
Well, Gene, you're hitting on the one thing that we also hear about more than anything else, and daily, and a lot of us are inundated by unsolicited emails from vendors that think they've got a solution. At the end of the day, this is something we can't necessarily knock off in 30 seconds, but essentially content is what it's all about. You've got to be providing search engines with as much information about the service you provide in the market that you're operating in through a number of means. It's your website, on-page content that people are looking at, page titles, web addresses, but there can be some complex elements to this. If you're a single location clinic, it's relatively straightforward to improve search ranking if you're not in a uber highly competitive market. If you're running 10 different clinic locations, you're in a completely different category where you need to look at your website strategy as if you've got 10 different websites living under one umbrella. So the advice we give clinics varies depending on how competitive your market is and how many locations you have. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to developing highly relevant content through a variety of mechanisms that'll provide the search engines with the keyword that they're looking for when they scan your website.
SEO is a complex matter that Patient Sites can help you out with. And by the way, you get 50% off for 3 months for listening to Therapy Insiders. So check out patientsites.com/insiders to get a free ebook, to get more information, and to sign up. Now, back to Therapy Insiders with Jason Shane getting ready to answer how to build an audience. Now, here's Jason.
It's interesting you say that, because in terms of growing an audience, from each of the courses that we've run, I've created an email list, an opt-in, so people have, you know, requested to be on it. But I'm up to about, you know, a few hundred people on this email list now. But all of these individuals are people who, many of them have come to all of the courses, or these are people who are interested in continuing education. So, you know, if I send out this email to, you know, 300 people or, you know, slightly more than that, then what happens is, you know, I would say within weeks, like maybe 10 to 20 of them sign up. So it's a pretty good response. But when I, you know, put an ad on Facebook, on my Facebook page, I might get one over a period of a few weeks. It's probably very similar to the type of response that you talked about.
Yeah, right?
that's email list is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's
if you don't have, if you don't have like the read, or you don't have the click open rate, you don't have the conversion. I mean, who cares if you have like thousands or hundreds?
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
When you only need 20 to 30. Yeah,
exactly. It's the superficial versus the deep, right? The superficial is, especially this was very big 5-6 years ago, where you do your best to build up the followers, where you pay people, you pay companies to get more likes on your Facebook page, to have Twitter followers, just because the awareness or the perception of a large following gave credibility to whatever you're doing, which is not the case anymore, because the case now is the bottom line, just like it is in business, just like it is in the clinic. It's the outcome. And 1,000 devoted followers that are interested in your material, I'll take that any day over, you know, 100,000 or 1 million followers just for the show of it. It's all about, like Ersin said, the engagement to help build the awareness and just have some gravitas behind it.
Absolutely. And, you know, throughout the year, I'm building that sort of interested audience. You know, once to twice a year, I still go out and speak to the graduating physical therapy class at the college here in Vancouver.
Like an ISTM course, Jason?
Yes. You know what? Ersin brings that up because I taught an ISTM free course, just a couple hour workshop last year to the students at UBC. And I'm the Canadian supplier for the Edge tool. So I had brought in, I'd ordered quite a few from Ersin going into it. And when I got there, because I thought I was selling it almost, you know, at a very big discount to these students. And when I get there, the students who were hosting me for this course, they say to me, oh, by the way, last week, we just all ordered, he was quite excited about this, we just all ordered this other brand of instrument-assisted tool. It'd be great if you can kind of show us how to use it. And I brought like 40 Edgilities with me. And I, you know, I leave this course and I'm like, how am I going to tell Ersin this? I'm like, Ersin,
right, you still had all 40, didn't you?
I had 39.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, you sold one. I remember because I texted him, hey, I never heard, because he was psyched about this, talking about it for a week. So excited. I'm going to, you know, students, I'm going to offer them a big discount. And I didn't hear from him for a week. How'd it go?
Oh, the best laid plans. You know what? The best laid plans. I think that's part of the reason why I hosted you for another course is because I had
39, you had to get rid of your stock.
I had 39 Edgilities. And actually, you know what? That brings up a really good point. Ersin and I talked about this, and you gave me this tip, is at the course to also have about a half hour at some point in the course where you talk about either upcoming courses or products that you sell. You talked about that, didn't you, Ersin?
Yeah, I mean, you have to upsell, and even if it's like Kineticore is excellent at it. After a meal, which they actually provide, then they upsell for the next hour or so products, and someone talks about a different course, and you know, you're already there anyway. I mean, that's why upsells work. Amazon does it on every time you buy a product. It's like people who bought this product also buy, and that worked. You know, Edge Mobility System does that on all their product pages, and after you have a receipt, my receipt says like, you know, hey, thanks for buying. Here's some other products you might like, and here's a 10% coupon off for your patronage. Basically, upsells work. Period. You know, you have someone there anyway. It's just a way for people to get repeated exposure, because most people need a little convincing to whatever, whether it's register for a course, buy your product, or learn your webinar, et cetera.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I look at it as well as that. I think that for a lot of rehab professionals that, you know, to them, I think they like to leave a course sometimes with a physical product. You know, they like to see a new tool. They like to see something that's new to them. So at every course I've been at, I've carried, you know, numerous products, you know, your products. And it actually helps to, what's it called, make the course profitable as well. I factor that into my budget. And speaking of which, in terms of running a course, is I think that most course hosts probably, if they're not doing it well, they don't actually even make a budget. I mean, I have an Excel spreadsheet I know what the costs of the instructor are. I know what the cost of their plane flight is, rental of the room. I know what the fees on each of the tickets are. So I know that, like, when I bring a course presenter in for a course, that I need, for example, 12 people to break even or 20 people to break even. You know, I think that probably if there's one thing, my impression is that most course hosts, I think that they underestimate how much work it takes to run a successful course. And that's maybe why, as you said, three courses had to get canceled for yourself.
Right. And they were all just people who had never done it before, but felt like they had a big enough network just by word of mouth. And I now I tell them, hey, if this is your first time doing it, it's not as easy as you think. And Gene and I both know that, right, Gene?
Yeah. I mean, I was still kind of impressed by what we got. Considering that we really didn't push it at all, aside from announcing on the podcast once or twice. It's like if you make it analogous with business in general, aside, you know, not just doing a course, that's pretty much the case for most business. It's incredibly hard to run a business. It's even harder to run it for a longer period of time, and it becomes almost impossible if you're doing it on a whim and feel without keeping track of financials, keeping track of some kind of plan. You know, you don't necessarily need a gigantic business plan, which is pretty much outdated at this point, but you do need to have some metrics that you follow that year over year that you're trying to improve on and keep track of. Otherwise, you're just guessing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, in terms of growth, I think Ersin, our numbers for courses, I think we're about like 35-ish for the first course, I think 40 for the second course. I think our last course, we were close to 50 participants. The room was, you know, completely sold out. And, you know, over the time of these last few years, I've sort of played with what's most successful. And by far, what's most successful is, as I said, using the local state's college, or for us, it's an association, and the email list. You know, I will post an ad on Facebook, and, you know, my thought is that for someone to take action, if I'm advertising on Facebook, it's probably going to take them anywhere from, I mean, I know the classic number is kind of around 7, but I think it's over that. I mean, I think that, you know, I think to myself, what's going to get someone to take action? And for me, you know, normally I keep posting about when the early bird deadlines are going to expire.
Right. Because people need a deadline.
Absolutely. I mean, this last course, we had like a super early bird rate where people could save, I think, about $100 per registration, and then early bird 50. And, you know, as the weeks go on, I would be like 2 more weeks, 1 more week, 1 more day. And I really found, like, 'cause I can obviously, you know, I get notified each time a sales goes through or registration goes through, is that I found was very successful. So, you know, in terms of how many times would I post about it? How many times would, I mean, I would say probably, let's say in the 6 months that I start marketing it, I've probably put up 50 posts probably.
That's a lot. And you think people are afraid to sell, and we talk about that a lot, and they think that they're bugging individuals. But I mean, everything all around us are sales. We're just used to ads, and that's probably another reason why people need to see it so much. Or I mean, even the way Facebook works, I mean, it's not like, it's the reason why there's a bigger push to Instagram versus Facebook is because, to say, if you have, I might have 300 followers on Instagram versus whatever, 17,000 followers on Facebook. But when you post something on Facebook, we don't know Facebook's weird algorithmic proprietary algorithms that choose, you know, when you post, like, who actually sees. It's not 100% your followers. It's just whoever they think is going to be engaged based on the picture, based on, you know, a similar topic or how it was worded or whatever, where it links to, versus something like Instagram. I'm not sure if Twitter works this way either, but I think it does. 100% of who is following you sees that post. But everyone chooses Facebook probably because of their reach and they have more members. It's just that just because you pay for something and you choose a specific audience and you post it on your page, it doesn't mean that if someone actually hasn't gone to your page in a while or they haven't been engaged by your post, they haven't clicked on your post, they might not even see it.
Absolutely. And I've found that recently is that there's pages that I have liked on Facebook, and for whatever reason, I'll go check it out. And I've noticed they've posted for the last few months, almost like daily. I haven't seen one of their posts, you know, so I think I only use Facebook as a way of kind of maybe sort of adding sort of some social proof to the course, like just affirmation, but by no means do I think that I am getting all my registrations through that aspect. I think I'm getting most of my registrations through, through more direct means than that, you know. And also, you know, what I also do is, you know, I know many physios around, and I'll email them and say, hey, something personal. I'll start the, you know, email with, hey, you know, it was great seeing you at that course that we took, last month. I'd mentioned that I'm running a course, and here it is. And that's actually another thing, is that when I go to other courses, I talk with people, I network with people, because I find the people who go to courses go to more courses. And many times after I go to another course, I'll end up with anywhere from 5 to 10 new contacts that we've exchanged business cards or electronic contact information. And all of them, you know, I've asked, hey, do you want to be on my email list? And I'm not soliciting. I mean, we end up just talking. They all do, because they're looking for good courses. I probably about once a month get an email from someone saying, hey, do you know of any good courses coming? And a lot of times when they send me that email, I'm like, I'm bringing a course, you know, and it's quite fortuitous sometimes how that timing works.
Yeah, that's the best thing. It works in a lot of ways. The personal connection with somebody and reaching out and saying, hey, listen, we have a course coming up. I don't know if you're interested or not, but if you feel like somebody might be interested, just pass it along to them. And it's that one-to-one connection is so powerful. That's why testimonials are huge. That's why reviews are huge, because you give validity to whatever you're doing, to whatever somebody's going to buy. There's somebody else that said it, so they tried it, and the fear of the unknown is removed, especially when you're parting with money. You know, when you're talking about a course, several hundred dollars, or a product like Urson and I sell, you know, you have to do an incredible job of removing that doubt. And that one-on-one connection is really, really useful for that.
Another idea that I had talked about, and I've done this with a few, is I believe in the States there's some quite large physical therapy chains, are there not? I mean, or, you know, where there'll be multiple locations, is even here, not quite as large, but there'll be some that'll have like, you know, 3 to 6 locations. I know some of the managers at these locations, and they have an internal sort of newsletter, internal email that will go out. And I've had the advertisement for the course put in on that before, so that it looks like, you know, the company is, you know, endorsing it. And I've had, last time I actually had, I think, close to 80% of physical therapists from one clinic come to a course because the manager had emailed it out to his entire staff.
Yeah, I noticed that about the last course, is there was an entire group of people who treated sprinters there. That's some good advice. We're going to have a huge course next time, huge garage series.
Gigantic. Absolutely. We'll have to buy another garage to add to this garage to double it up.
Or we'll just do it outside.
Yeah, definitely do it outside.
I think I need to see some more pictures of that garage, because that looks much nicer than my garage.
Manual therapy barbecue. How about that?
I like it. Triple meat barbecue challenge.
Oh, man. I'm done with that. I feel like that's why I got that cyst in my wrist. Then, like, after my microbiome changed back to, like, a less of a inflammatory pro-growth diet, that the cyst went down. Oh, man. Seriously, like 2 hours after fantastic. The triple meat challenge, my wrist started hurting so bad that I could barely move it.
That's why you have to stick with sushi.
Oh, I love sushi.
You know, Gene, we'll have to get you to come out here. We go for sushi on the Saturday night of the 2-day course, and we pretty much
Urson doesn't share.
Urson does not share. You know what, Urson, that is something that I learned about Urson. When we went out for dinner the first time, I was just doing the ordering for everyone. And Urson, what do you say?
I trust you. You order what, I don't know what to get here. You order, surprised me is what I said.
And I think I ordered you 3 rolls. They came to the table. And I think the first thing I did was grab my chopsticks and go to eat one of your rolls. And I'm pretty sure you stopped me and you're like, oh no. I don't share.
Well, no. Basically, the way the story went is I ate at least a roll and a half Right. And I was kind of maybe working into, I don't just eat one roll and then go into the next roll. You know, I'm dabbling. I'm having a little bit of one is good, having a little bit of another. I might have ordered a rainbow roll. So trying a little bit of everything. Maybe 3/4 of all three of these rolls are gone. And then Jason hits me with, I had ordered those for everyone on the table.
Rookie mistake, Jason. Rookie mistake.
You know what? I order a lot.
The spreadsheet now is my sushi.
You know, it is. We have a food budget for the course. It got added in after that first course.
Well, we took after
Chris
after
Johnson
the garage.
Can too. He eats three rolls and drinks twice as much beer as me. So,
well, I'm the same way. I pull down 3 to 4 rolls easy. I mean, we took out a bunch of guys after the garage series for sushi. I mean, I think everybody put down 2 to 3, at least 3 rolls, because I'll have my 3 rolls, some salmon sashimi on top of that, and I'm still hungry.
Yeah, they have excellent seafood up there in BC, but these guys are only eating like one roll. I was like, what is going on here?
You know what? We, like I said, 3 times now, and it's been sushi every single time. Though I think last time, I think the table tapped out. I think we ordered enough food that everyone was done by the end of it. I think there was a few pitchers of beer and a few rolls of sushi, and I think that I think we were done by the end of it.
The last 2 times I went out, actually, both Garage Series and Toronto, they didn't have pitchers. They looked at me like, what do you think this is, a Mexican restaurant? We don't have pitchers here. I'm like, okay, I'll just have one can then.
It's a big can, though.
It is a big can, but it's not like a pitch. I don't know. You know, nothing says a party like a pitcher.
That's true.
And you've got to watch that Canadian beer compared to that American beer.
I guess so. But I know there's Sapporos. I don't know how that compares, but Canadian beer is some of my favorite beer.
Does Canadian beer make you nicer?
Canadian beer is I'm pretty sure 6 to 7%, I think.
On average, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a pretty nice beer,
like water compared to.
It's a pretty good beer.
Yes, increased alcoholic content, eh?
Yeah, that gets the party going, absolutely. So there you go. You got all of Jason's, or at least some of Jason's secrets, and if all else fails, just get pitchers of beer and the people will come.
We'll get Jason to plan the course for you.
There you go.
You know what? I have thought about that, but I will say this. You can definitely, and if you want to put on the show notes my contact info and people have some questions, they're definitely welcome to contact me.
Yeah, throw it out there. If people want to reach you, ask you questions about courses and or anything else, where can they find you?
Best way to find me is through my Facebook page that Urson likes to give me a hard time about, which is Shane Physiotherapy. And if you message me, I'll get back right quick. And like I said, I'm more than happy to help out with people running courses.
I think you should brand Manual Therapy Party, facebook.com/ you know what? Therapy Party or manualtherapyparty.com.
There is going to be an IG picture and a Facebook picture of the next course of me putting a sign up that's going to have the word party on it, guaranteed.
Done. We'll share that. Manual Therapy Party up in Canada, eh?
Hey, you bet.
Oh, the domain is available. I'm going to snatch that up.
Snatch it.
Nope. Too late. I'm already on GoDaddy trying to reserve that domain.
Well, while they battle it out, Jason, thanks so much for joining us, man. Thanks for sharing your insight on how to build a course.
Thanks for having me, you guys. It's been a real pleasure.
So for anybody else, check out Jason at on the Facebook page that he shared. And as always, thank you so much for following us. And with 2016, we got some really cool things that we hope you think is cool as well, coming up with UpDoc Media content. Obviously, we got our regular blog, the podcasts, but we also have some cool video stuff coming out. So we're going to be dabbling in the video medium as well. So keep checking out UpDocMedia.com and our Facebook page, UpDoc Media, for some of the content that spans business, physical therapy, and some entertainment. Want to get you guys laughing a little bit and not just pumping you full of all kinds of dry info, which I'd like to think that's something that we shy away from. So as always, UpDocMedia.com, check us out, and reviews on iTunes, as always, are hugely appreciated. For majority of 2015, we were between the top 20, sometimes top 50 of iTunes podcasts. And a lot of that has to do with you, our listeners, and the reviews that you leave and the downloads on iTunes. So please keep that up. Check us out at Therapy Insiders on iTunes. Just type it in. We'll pop right up. And We look forward to hearing more feedback, more input, and the engagement. It's what it's all about. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.